Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Kamsa Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Yamuna Devi Ki Ganga Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Vrindavandam ki, Mayapuram ki, Sankirtan Yajna ki, Gaur Premanandi. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Vastaya, Vishnu Vastaya, Vishnu Vastaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text 17. Evam griheshu saktanam. Pramatanam tadihaya Acha krimad avigyata Kala paramadushtadaha Evam griheshu satanam Pramatanam tadihaya Acha kramad avidyata Kala paramadushtaraha. Please chant.
Evam griheshu saktanam.
Evam griheshu saktanam.
Ladies. Thus, Viheshu, in the family affairs, Saktanam, of persons who are too attached, Pamatanam, insanely attached, Tatihaya, engrossed in such thoughts. Acha kramat, surpassed, avigyata, imperceptibly, kala, eternal time, karma, supremely, dushtaraha, insurmountable. Translation, insurmountable, eternal time, imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thought. Please read together. This is Sarah. Insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Quote, I am now happy. I have everything in order. My bank balance is quite enough. I can now give my children enough estate. I am now successful. The poor beggar sannyasis depend on God, but they come to beg from me. Therefore, I am more than the Supreme God. These are some of the thoughts which engross the insanely attached householder who is blind to the passing of eternal time Our duration of life is measured, and no one is able to enhance it even by a second without the scheduled time ordained by the Supreme Will. Such valuable time, especially for the human being, should be cautiously spent, because even a second passed away imperceptibly cannot be replaced even in exchange for thousands of golden coins amassed by hard labor. Every second of human life is meant for making an ultimate solution to the problem of life, that is, repetition of birth and death, and revolving in the cycle of 8,400,000 different species of life. The material body, which is subject to birth and death, disease, and old age, is the cause of all sufferings of the living being. Otherwise, the living being is eternal. He is never born, nor does he ever die. Foolish persons forget this problem. They do not know at all how to solve the problems of life, but become engrossed in temporary family affairs, not knowing that eternal time is passing away imperceptibly, and that their measured duration of life is diminishing every second, without any solution to the big problem, namely repetition of birth and death, disease, and old age. This is called illusion. But such illusion cannot work on one who is awake in the devotional service of the Lord. Yudhisthira Maharaj and his brothers, the Pandavas, were all engaged in the service of the Lord Sri Krishna, and they had very little attraction for the illusory happiness in this material world. As we have discussed previously, Maharaj Yudhisthira was fixed in the service of the Lord Mukunda, the Lord who can award salvation, and therefore he had no attraction even for such comforts of life as are available in the kingdom of heaven, because even the happiness obtained on the planet Brahmaloka is also temporary and illusory. Because the living entity is eternal, he can be happy only in the eternal abode of the kingdom of God, Parivyoma, from which no one returns to this region of repeated birth and death, disease, and old age. Therefore, any comfort of life or any material happiness which does not warrant an eternal life is but illusion for the eternal living being. One who understands this factually is learned, and such a learned person can sacrifice any amount of material happiness to achieve the desired goal known as Brahmasukham, or absolute happiness. Real transcendentalists are hungry for this happiness, and as a hungry man cannot be made happy by all comforts of life minus foodstuff, so the man hungry for eternal absolute happiness cannot be satisfied by any amount of material happiness. Therefore, the instructions described in this verse cannot be applied to Maharaj Yudhisthira or his brothers and mother. It was meant for persons like Dhritarashtra, for whom Vidura came especially to impart lessons. Om Gyanati Narandasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my most respectful obeisances unto him. So what is it? What is it that we all tell? We like kill, we have on our hands, we don't have enough of, it and is always moving, and we take it and we measure. What is it? It's time. But what is time? How do we describe time? We do all these things with it, and it's very prominent in our lives. I see two clocks here and many watches, and so it's all around us, and now on your cell phones. So it's always out there reminding us that of its all presence. But what is it? And well, first of all, What it is the glance of Mahavishnu. There's no time. It's said in the spiritual realm, time is conspicuous by its absence because it's eternity. So the material nature, Mahavishnu, who you could say is the working Lord, because Krishna is only having fun with his intimate, loving exchanges. It's kind of like home. When you're home, you know, you're yourself and you're more relaxed, and then you go to work and you put on your persona of work. So Mahavishnu is deputed by Lord Krishna to work. So he just glances over material energy, and that glance, it's like an effulgent, bright glance, and he doesn't glance directly, it's imparted by his consort, Rama Devi. She carries that glance to the material energy to activate it. Then a halo, golden halo appears, and that's Shambhu, Lord Shiva. So they're all connected. Mahavishnu, Rama Devi, and Shiva, all of them are called time. They're also time, the manifestation. So this is our most valuable commodity, we can say. Like it's stated here, not even 1 second can be brought back. Prabhupada often gives this analogy with millions of gold coins, which you have labored very hard to amass, but you can never pay it back. So how important it is, like this, you know, Krishna didn't have to give this material world because he has enough to do, you know, with his loving associates. So he asked Mahavishnu, and just to give everyone a chance, okay, here you can have a chance of that to reform yourself. Reform yourself so that you can go to your eternal abode and be free of the influence of time. So now, yesterday, Pushkar Prabhu, he was scheduled to give class today, but he mercifully gave me this verse, and he said, I memorized that verse long ago. I said, when you were a brahmachari, right? Yeah. So lots of brahmacharis were very keen on these kind of verses in the old days, and they said, I am never getting married. And we see there are many, many verses like this throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, warning one of, like it's saying here, those who are too much attached. But then what happens is the heart takes over the head. The head knows, I'm never going to do that. I can look all around me and see. I see my God brothers struggling like anything in household life. And this is like such nectar, just distributing books and serving the deities and working on publishing. You know, so much nice devotional service that why would I ever want that? But then, yeah, so why would, and Brahmacharinis too, I was in the same mood as a Brahmacharini. And then the heart is like, but, you know, I want love. We all want love. That's our constitutional position. And if the height of love is not extremely focused on experiencing, not just in the head, experiencing love for Krishna, then naturally we will want love elsewhere. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada said all women should be married, and women, you know, they're thinking, I want to get married, and my husband, he's going to fulfill all of my desires and give me nice house and anything I want, and children, nice children, and, you know, I'll be so happy. And then I know he has some idiosyncrasies and maybe some bad habits, but he'll change, you know, later. And then the man is thinking, well, I want someone to serve me and, you know, someone who's beautiful and sweet and, of course, submissive. And you've all been to weddings, and weddings like, wow, I was, the last wedding was, you know, Vani and, what's his name? Varun, but he has a new name, right? And you know, it's like such a fairy tale wedding, so beautiful, and they're giving all these blessings, and then all the old time married people are thinking, you know, you'll see, it's not all like that. And pretty soon you realize that the only way to be happy, like as stated in this verse, by devotional service, well, in any relationship, as soon as we're thinking the other person is going to serve me and make me happy, because remember, the woman, you think she's always going to be like that, beautiful, sweet, but not always. And the man's going to change. The woman always changes, and the men don't change. And so it goes on. But you know, you learn, and again, you know, it's all and having children. Yesterday, Sukhita mentioned, it's love, but it's a lot of anxiety. And you're thinking, you know, why would a woman put herself through that? There's this strong desire, but why? If you have no idea, the austerity, you know, pregnancy, and just the discomfort of it all, and then childbirth, and then sleepless nights on end, like so many times, and then children like trying to manipulate their parents and pulling on their heartstrings, but we do it for love, you know. Of course, there's love, and the mother has hormones. As soon as the baby's born, she feels so much love and affection, and even the father, they say a man never experienced love till he has a daughter. Then it's his first love, really. So there's that explosion of the heart of love, and through that, one is ready to have all kinds of sacrifice. One will make sacrifice, one will work hard. So as I was mentioning, if we think, you know, this other person's going to fulfill my desires and satisfy me, then we'll always be disappointed. And until we shift our perspective that I'm the servant and that I am here to facilitate, you know, my partner and my children and my circle, and I'm here to serve them, that's where the real, you know, happiness comes from. And also, like, it's saying here, like, insanely. And it was very encouraging, because at first I only read half of the purport, and I was contemplating that, like, wow, like doomsday. But then it has a very happy ending. But in the beginning, this mentality, like, okay, I'm going to get it all in order. I'm happy. I have everything. You know, I have my house, my possessions, my car, my cell phone, my computer. I have, you know, all the best things and the best food and my bank balance, and, you know, thinking I can give to my children, just thinking that's my circle of where I want to give charity, where everyone has to give charity, but there are so many noble causes, Krishna conscious causes to give to, and he's thinking, I'm now successful. So what is this success? And we all know that it's so much a facade, this kind of material success, when it's not, there's actually so much suffering going on. And this was interesting how we think the sannyasis depend on God, but they come to the householders to beg. But nowadays, it's shifted. Many householders beg from the sannyasis. I distribute books, and Satchinandan Swami always wants this book that Babru put together, The Life of Akinchana Das Babaji, because he was absorbed in the holy name. So he came at Festival of Inspiration. Can I have, Sadhu Sangha Retreat, four of those books? Yeah, because he gives them. And I said, sure. And he said, how much? I said, you don't have to pay. He goes, come on, I'm a sannyasi. Sannyasis have a lot of money. We can pay for the books, you know. So that's how it is these days. But the thing is that it's mentioned here, insanely attached, it makes us blind. So suppose somebody gets an opportunity to awaken. Well, they may say, okay, I'll awaken, but not now. You know, like we say, you can wake a sleeping man, but not someone pretending to sleep. So there's always excuses and obstacles. All right, well, right now, you know, I'm too young, like Prahlad Maharaj told his friends when he was a child, you know, to engage in devotional service. They said, we're too young, you know, we want to play. When we get older, we can. He said, no way, because then, you know, you have to go to school for years and years, and then you have to work, and you have a family. They go, all right, well, after I get this job, and then college, you know, in college for years, like, becoming a medical doctor, how many doctors here? Like 9-10 years of school and residency, like, wow. Like, all right, when I finish my residency, then I'll take up devotional service. Or, oh, but now I just had a new baby, and that's like, they wake up at night, I have to help out so my wife can get some sleep. And then, you know, then there's, oh, I have to take care of my old parents. And then there's retirement, so I'm too busy. Now I'm too old, you know, I'm too feeble and old. So many excuses that one passes their entire life, you know, and putting it off till the circumstances present themselves. But they never do. And, you know, Vidura, Prabhupada says in one purport, right, that we want to have many Vidoras. So look at Vidura, how merciful. You know how it was, Shtadaratma Prabhu explained, you know, about the three brothers, and he was the saintly one, even though he's born of a Shudra mother. She was very respectful, though, to Shiva Vasudeva. And he came to enlighten his brother, and he said, we want many Vidoras. Now, if only we could have that potency to preach like Vidura and actually enlighten our family members, right? They don't like their parents preaching to them, but if only, how wonderful it would be. But we see here that, just this time with urgency, Prabhupada's stressing here again and again, urgency, not with millions of coins, because remember, it was about 10.5 years ago that Sri Sri Krishna Balaram were installed. Now, does that seem like a long time ago? Not so long. Like, we're thinking, I have 10 more years, maybe every month one of us are passing away, and in 10 years some of us will have passed away. And so we're thinking, I still have 10 years maybe, say we do. 10 years, that's a long time. But look, 10 years ago, the deities were installed. It wasn't that long ago. So when we were young, very young, we're thinking, I can't wait to go to school. You know, when I turned 5 years old, I can go to school. They didn't have a whole lot of preschools back in my day. But, you know, I'll get to go to school, and then, oh boy, 8 years of this. Then I get to go to high school. 4 years. When is it ever going to be over? 4 years. And then if you go to college, in my day, not everyone went to college. They used to ask you, are you going to go to college? Now they say, what college are you going to? Not everyone is suited for college, but you know, they'd be much happier somewhere else, working in the fields or making, you know, something. Not everyone's suited for that, but it's imposed. So then we're thinking, you know, when? And, you know, when am I gonna be get married? When am I gonna have a baby? And then, oh my God, when is this baby gonna go to school? so I can have a few hours. No, we love all of our children, I know. But then before you know it, you're grandparents. And you're like, oh my God, where'd the time go? It keeps going faster and faster. When you're young, it goes slow. Like, when is the next milestone gonna occur? But as you get older, it goes so, so fast, you know? And so again, that emphasis there, oh, there's emphasis on the time. So that was very, very pertinent here that, and this wonderful analogy that if one is hungry, like one's hungry for spiritual life, then nothing else can satisfy them. I thought also it's like sleep too, like if you have jet lag or something or insomnia, you can't sleep, and then you get hit with the great fatigue and you're thinking, I just need to sleep, like I don't want anything else. Like Muchukunda, you know. So that was a very good analogy, and I thought, wow, how hopeful, because here Vidura came and he had so much affection for the Pandavas, and they had so much affection for him, and they said, you always, you know, were our well wisher, you always looked after us, and then he let them in on the intrigue when they were going to be burnt in the house of lack. And so because of that affection, we see that's the main medium of transmitting transcendental knowledge. Like we may speak philosophy very well, we have wonderful books, but if we don't have affection, people won't receive it. Like, you know how most devotees love their guru very much. And they do, but that's all. They will hear from their guru, and then that guru may not touch your heart at all, you know, because it's a relationship. If one feels the affection, then the mercy flows. That's like the beam of light that transmits knowledge and receives knowledge. We receive it through that medium of affection, and it allows us to awaken and to to at least act upon the knowledge and all. And let's see, I thought that well, what takes away our attraction, like nowadays I find it to be the saddest thing, actually, a world of electronics, how it's taken away. Like you think, oh, it's innocent and some entertainment or something, but you know what happens? It takes away our taste. By watching and reading mundane literature and watching mundane media, we lose our attraction to hear about Krishna. And you know how many young people say to me, devotees, that it's so boring. They think Srimad Bhagavatam's boring. Am I boring? And because we can't hear it if our mind is cluttered with mundane impressions, and because everything is leaving an impression, right? Everything we see and hear and discuss and eat, and everything leaves an impression on our consciousness. So how can we be not wasting time? Like there's so much to, we see that there's never any, there's not enough time to engage in hearing and chanting. Oh yeah. I just want to, in where I live, we have short class, and I'm not used to long classes. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur summed this up so nicely. You may have heard it. He wrote English. He wrote in several languages, but he wrote an English prayer. And what? Really? Julio Tamari. I simply surrender. Was it in English originally? Oh, I didn't know. So it was translated into English, and our Tetikshiva Karunika Prabhu put it to song. You know, he plays acoustic guitar and other things. So I'd like to sing this beautiful song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur called I Simply Surrender, because you see, on surrender, we have teachable moments. Like Vidura came now, right? Dhritarashtra was so, like, you know, he allowed such atrocities to go on, but now he's beaten down. All of his sons have been killed, and he's living like he's. This is just now the beginning. We're going to hear Vidura's preaching to Dhritarashtra. Like, you know, what a fool! I don't want to spoil it, but you know, like. So now he's has a teachable moment. Now he's lost everything and he's been humbled. So he's ready to hear. And he took the instructions very seriously. So that's the thing. Life beats us down sometimes. And then we're ready. Like, we're not always ready. And then it's like, okay, now I can hear it. Now I can actually follow the good advice. So here's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. With age I am humbled, deprived of success. I weep as my hollow life leads me to death, lamenting the decades of unpardoned strife. I hereby submit the sad tale of my life. Alive in the womb of unbearable night, I lay in a bag with no air and no light. Then pushed from the darkness in shock and in pain, a network of fantasy had covered my brain. I simply surrender, no more will I moan. My Lord, I am fallen. Oh, please take me home. I laughed as a child in my relative's laps. Parental affection had strengthened the trap. I grew and I studied each mundane event. So proud and so learned, now both I repent. Then eager for money, a household, a wife, I took on a burden which drained me for life, and time gone forever, how dearly it cost. Life's progress had halted, intolerable loss. Bewildered and angered by worldly desire, my selfishness grew and consumed me like fire. With the greatest of pleasure I put into pain those others whose flourishing had threatened my gain. And now I am humbled, diseased and downcast. My senses enfeebled, enjoyment has passed. An old man with fever in constant distress, alone and afraid, so afraid of my death. I simply surrender, no more will I moan. My Lord, I am fallen, oh please take me home. Jai Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I don't sing like Amal or Purandi, but of course we know Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is topmost devotee, but his humility here in this. So now, like, we don't want to end our life like this. You know, we want to, like, take advantage. Like, yes, let's do it. And because Krishna says, you know, about this time, he says that time I am the great destroyer of the world, and I have come here to destroy all people, so except for the Pandavas. And he was, it said also Krishna was, it said that at the this time I am destroyer of the world, it was like this form is all devouring, and Krishna, it says, eventually all the brahmanas, kshatriyas, and everyone else are devoured like a meal by the Supreme. So this, the form of the Supreme Lord is the all-devouring giant. And here Krishna presents himself in that form of all-devouring time. So time marches on, and soon all of us will also be and will be in our, you know, next destinations before you know it. And so we must take advantage of this opportunity. Okay, so anything anyone would like to add? Or any questions or anything? I don't know.
So I was reminded of in the 2008, the downturn, they had people were losing money. There was a story about this German guy who was a billionaire, and he had $8 billion. So he thought he had lost half his money, and he threw himself in front of a train.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, if that isn't like the quintessential idea of insane, even if he lost half his money, he'd still have $4 billion. And it turned out that he'd only lost $2 billion. He actually had six. But he thought it wiser just to, he was just kill himself. I mean, he lost so much money. So I mean, that's like those kind of stories were popping up.
Right.
That was like
so many stories.
The
right.
Most, the one that sticks in my head the most.
Yeah, like so-called successful people. We know many have real nightmares. You know, in their personal life and in their relationships and with their children and so many things. Yes, Kudur?
I was thinking that until the soul actually reconnects with the infinite Supreme Lord, this will never end, that they will feel complete or satisfied forever. So the whole explanation of Bhagavatam or different Vedic scripture, the Dukkhalayama Shashvatam, temporary tribulation, all this, but if it is not bringing to that point of reconnecting, which Prabhupada was emphasizing so much in this part, was nice. And I really appreciate your practical demonstration of family life and sannyas life. And it's very nice, very practical. But ultimately you are coming to that point of reconnecting with Krishna, and forever that problem will be solved. That we'll never look for anything else.
Well, you're the perfect example of taking advantage, right, of a sour lemonade, turning sour lemons into lemonade. Because you took advantage of your situation, and now such a potent, you know, constant preacher, like now your family has expanded to so many people giving Krishna consciousness. So it's probably more satisfying as well. But at the same time, it's something we generally go through, you know, go through family life and then learn from all the experiences of it, and then come back to how Krishna is the real object. And that's one reason brahmachari and brahmacharini life is so valuable, to have that foundation in the beginning, because then you have something to come back to that is memorable, or, you know, Gurukula training, like one looks forward to that. Because it's a household life, we're amassing so many possessions, and then at the end you have to dispose, what's another word, disperse, you have to move them out of your life. So
I feel like this experience becomes the best tool to come closer to Krishna, because they really pressure within that it's all useless.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say it, but the memory is there.
Mm-hmm.
What did I do? Okay, I earned money, but then what? I'm still not that happy.
Mm-hmm.
I have more money than before. So is this, I think, self-examination, like if we introspectively, if we see those suffering or worse experience, it's become such a impetus. I think it's good that they go through some tough time.
And it's inevitable. You know, like another painful thing for parents is to see their children suffer, even like, you know, baby, if a child is sick, or then the child gets, other children are very mean sometimes, and they say mean things, and they hurt the feelings of your child, and it hurts you even more than them, because they often forget it. Like, they're still really good friends, you know, but we, like, are like, oh, that's like a dagger, you know. And later on, especially in dealings of love, you know, if you see your child have a breakup, a bad relationship, you know, it must be very painful like that, because it's painful. And so many experiences, so it's good. And when bad turns to good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thinking it's almost kind of like, on one hand, I feel like it's unfair that Krishna, you know, a woman goes through pregnancy and the hormones make it so, you become so attached to the child and you have to serve your children so much. So naturally we will become attached, you know. But then on the other hand, he wants us to be detached. And then we have to go through the suffering, you know. In different ways. So in one sense we feel like, oh, it's unfair, why does Krishna has go through all that, you know, why can't we? But on the other hand, you kind of see, like Pran Govinda Prabhu was saying, that it's a perfect situation that we go through such sufferings so that we can become detached. So on one hand we're forced to become attached, and then we're forced to become detached. Wow.
Right, all the different cycles of life. And the attachment is so good, right? Because that way we give affection to the children, so they will grow to be affectionate to others, and they will grow to be strong individuals and balanced, you know, like that. Gurangi has a disagreement with me, right? That's my daughter, Gurangi Priya Amala Harinam's sister.
So I think you could leave a class like this feeling, pretty discouraged about family life. And for me, I've grown up hearing these classes, and so having any kind of material stability is very hard for me, because I know it's all temporary and there's no point. But I think the key here is that Vidura is speaking to Dhritarashtra, and like Mataji was saying, our path is bhakti, and we're not a path of gyan. Gyan is detachment, and bhakti is opening our hearts, and it's a path of love, and that we, through relationship, you know, with our family and with our children, of course, we develop the path of love, and it is. We are meant to be attached to devotees, and it's through the attachment to the devotees that we, you know, learn a personal relationship with Krishna. But the key is that to naturally go through that progression. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
There's a natural detachment that comes through the experiences of like really Varnashram is all these different ashrams, and really we're meant to go through all of them. You see like the healthiest sannyasis, or you know, the ones that have gone through that natural progression, they have the true realizations to share. And so, yeah, I think it's, you know, no, I don't disagree at all. I think everything was so powerful, what you said, and how the sense of urgency is there, but yet, for me at least, like to have that balance of there's a season for everything. Mm-hmm. So when you're in family life and you have young children and you're, you know, you have to be attached, and that's actually your detachment. Mm-hmm. To offer that to Krishna, to offer that in service, that's your detachment actually. Mm-hmm. To be detached from it and to remove yourself from that responsibility, then you're not actually doing the service in the most powerful way. And so it's just interesting to think about how, you know, and to distinguish, I think it's important to distinguish the different paths of bhakti and jnana, because I think we can naturally be drawn to jnana, because mm-hmm. in one sense it's actually easier, mm-hmm. you know, to be detached from the world, and just, it's almost like a self-preservation.
Yeah, like Arjuna is suggesting.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't want to fight.
Right, and to think about that, like we all have our battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so easy to just walk away sometimes, but how we all have our duty and our dharma and the things that we have to do that sometimes aren't, or oftentimes aren't pleasurable, but then to offer that, like you were saying, to switch that mentality that, oh, these children aren't for my enjoyment, but mm-hmm. they're for, mm-hmm. you know, my offering.
For sure, right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I think you should give class to Ravi. Jai. Okay, is that it? Thank you all very much for your attention and presence here today. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.